everyone. Welcome in. It is episode 3 of the Barbecue Hound. We are so excited to have you with us. I'm Patrick Netherton. My name's on the title, so that would make some sense. We really appreciate all of your support through episodes 1 and 2. You're sending in comments, questions, emails, all of that stuff. We appreciate it. And we want to remind you that we have all of that available to you. Coming up after our interview here in this episode, we will have The Smoke, which is our listener and viewer mailbag. So if you haven't gotten your comments in, please get your comments in. Send them to us. A lot of ways to do it. Email us at patrick@thebbqhound.com. You can text or leave a voicemail. We'll play a voicemail on the air if you leave one. That number is 318-6570-HAM, 318-6570-426. You can also hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. The username is, or the name is at the BBQ Hound. And of course, you can find us on our YouTube platform, the BBQ Hound, or you can find us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. This is probably how you're either watching or listening today. So please keep sending in those comments. Your comments will be heard, read, responded to in our smoke segment that we do at the end of the show. All right, coming up on episode 3, we talked to a couple of guys whose journey I've followed for quite a while now. They are guys that started off working at a different restaurant. They were working at Bodacious on Moberly and Longview. They decided to go out on their own, and they'll tell their story coming up, but decided to go out on their own, faced a lot of hardships in doing that, trying to get to the level that they are today. And wouldn't you know it, in this iteration of the Texas Monthly Top 50 list, they did make the list, and deservedly so. They make absolutely incredible barbecue. They're holding it down for, as you'll hear Dave Segovia talk about, the 903. They are holding it down for the 903. They are absolutely incredible folks doing incredible work. If you get to Longview, Texas, go visit them at Sunbird Barbecue. Brian Bingham and Dave Segovia of Sunbird Barbecue are our guests coming up in just a moment. One quick story, and it actually does feature Sunbird Barbecue, funny enough. I do a little Ubering and lifting on the side. That's kind of my side hustle when, you know, summer, I'm calling games during the fall, during the winter, during the spring, but during the summer, there's really not a lot going on sports-wise, so I am usually, on the weekends, I'll Uber or Lyft, try to make a little extra cash, just kind of keep the boredom at bay, that sort of stuff. So I was Ubering the other night, and a couple weekends ago now, and it was on a Friday night, and I got a call that sent me to Longview. Basically, it said, look, this is going to be a long trip. Do you want to accept it? I was like, you know, I got a full tank of gas. I got nothing but time on my hands. Let's do it. So I accepted the trip to drive folks to Longview. It was a couple of guys that were working on a train, and I guess conductors or engineers or whatever, they were in Shreveport and they needed to get to Longview. And I guess, I don't know, the trains weren't running. I have no idea what their story was. So I pick these two gentlemen up. I take them to a hotel in Longview from Shreveport. Drove through one of the most horrific rainstorms, thunderstorms that I've ever driven through. It was insane. But we got them there. We got them there in good shape, good form. And I dropped them off at their hotel. And along the way, I'd been talking about, hey, by the way, there's this top 50 barbecue place in Longview called Sunbird. And if you get a chance, you should go visit. And they said they would try to do that. I thought, you know what? I'm here. Let's see how far I am away from Sunbird. Turns out I was about 2 miles. I was like, you know what? Before I drive back, because it's still raining and kind of, you know, kind of gross, I was like, let me go do a little, have a little fun. So I drove over to Sunbird Barbecue at like 9:30 p.m. after I dropped these guys off. I take a picture of the outside and I put it on social media, at the BBQ Hound, and then my personal socials are at PT Netherton. But I put it on social media, basically, hey, look, I'm right here at Sunbird Barbecue. I'm first in line, and I can't wait for Saturday service. And this is on a Friday night. Now, a couple of people actually thought I was serious. A couple of people responded like, man, you're already in line. Like, what are you doing? And look, Sunbird sells out regularly now these days, thanks to the top 50 list and their just general aptitude, if you will, at barbecue. But I was, they definitely don't have lines that form overnight. They're not open one day a week like Snow's in Lexington, that kind of thing. So I'm just kind of chilling. And I took a picture, I posted it, told everyone, hey, I'm here, I'm first in line, I can't wait for service tomorrow. Obviously, I turned around and drove back home right after that. But that was, I enjoyed that, I must say. I enjoyed posting that and having a little fun with Brian Bingham and Dave Segovia, the two guys at Sunbird Barbecue. Speaking of, those are our guests for today's episode. We caught them in the kitchen of their restaurant as they were getting ready to start prepping for their week of service. And I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I enjoyed it. These are a couple of tremendous dudes who have put in a lot of work and dealt with a lot of ordeals to make it to where they are today, a brick and mortar spot and a spot in the top 50 on the Texas Monthly list. So I hope you'll enjoy this conversation with Brian Bingham and Dave Segovia of Sunbird Barbecue. Welcome you back to the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton as we are joined by our first pitmasters. Now, episode number two was Daniel Vaughn from Texas Monthly Magazine, the barbecue snob, the barbecue editor for Texas Monthly. We talked all about how that list was made. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to have, hopefully, all 50 members of that Texas Monthly list on at some point. But I wanted to start with some newbies on the list and a couple of guys that I've been able to sort of watch their journey from afar. I don't know how far 100 miles is away, but that's why we welcome in Brian Bingham and Dave Segovia from Sunbird Barbecue in Longview, guys who have had quite a journey to get into that Texas Monthly top 50 list. First of all, gentlemen, now when we recorded this, y'all were getting ready, you're prepping for your week of service. Tell me how you're feeling just kind of overall. Obviously, the top 50 now changes things a little bit in terms of what you guys have to do. But how are you feeling right now?
Awesome still. Yeah. I mean, it's been pretty cool. Like, I think it finally set in like a couple weeks after the list drop for me. Just, you know, really letting it soak in and still just like knowing that it's real and it's not going away. And that after everything that we had gone through, that we're finally there is pretty awesome. It feels pretty great.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to mention, wearing the Dolly Parton shirt is Brian Bingham, and with the natty beard would be Dave Segovia. Just want to make sure everyone knows. Dave, how are you feeling, brother?
Man, you know, I like what Brian just said. It's about, you know, it's always going to be now, you know, it's there. It's not, no one can ever take that away from us. And man, it's a great feeling that, you know, we've put so much into this and like, it might seem like it's happened quick, but it really hasn't. I mean, we've gone through some things and I'm sure everybody knows our story. Our backstory, it's just nice, man, to be recognized for the work that we're doing.
I'm not sure everyone does know your backstory, and that's part of why I wanted to have you guys on, because y'all have had a journey to get where you are, and we're going to get into that, but let's go all the way back to the beginning. And Brian, we'll start with you, and then Dave, you can jump in as well. Take me back to the beginning. How did you get into barbecue, food? You know, what was your early part of the journey to get to where you are now?
So really when I got into barbecue, it was kind of just, I just kind of stumbled into it. I did not grow up cooking or any sort of culinary background. When I was younger, I was a very picky eater. I really wasn't until I met my wife, Kimmy, that she really kind of opened up my eyes to what food could be. All I knew before her was, you know, the microwave. And I could cook a frozen pizza pretty well. But yeah, I had never cooked anything. And then she really kind of opened up my eyes and forced me to really kind of step outside of my comfort zone. And then when we got married and moved in together, we got our first house and my parents bought me a grill. Because every homeowner should have a grill and be able to cook for their family. Because that was one thing that I do have fond memories of, is my dad grilling as I grew up. And he still does when we go visit. And he had bought me that grill, and Very first thing I cooked was burgers, and I ruined them. I did the whole classic, constantly flipping it and flipping it and flipping it until they fell apart and fell through the grates. And that was the very first time I had ever cooked, and I think I probably cried a little bit and said, I'm never doing this again. And then I kind of just said, screw it, let's try again. And it really just evolved from there. I just randomly decided one day, hey, I want to do this and I want to try to cook. And I cooked a brisket, and I just literally had like a backyard Academy grill. It did not have a firebox on it, so I had to offset it and cut the very first brisket I cooked. I literally had to cut it in half to like shift it far enough away from the wood to be able to cook it. It was awful, but I fell in love with it, and really just I became obsessed. Like I've never done anything that I enjoyed in life half-assed. Everything I do it very obsessively and just to the point where it consumes me. I can't do anything any other way. That's just all I know. And so, I every single weekend I was smoking a brisket or ribs or anything I could, studying it, watching videos. And just kind of evolved from there to I went to culinary school. Literally was working, two jobs, going to culinary school, still barbecuing on the weekends. And then met Jordan from Bodacious, and he started following me. And that was kind of where my introduction to the professional world of barbecue was getting that job at Bodacious.
And then, so for me, it was more like, I've always done backyard cooking myself. When I started getting serious about it, I was going actually into competition cooking. And that's what I was like really focusing on. And then through all that, really basically, I had become friends online with Brian. And I just think he started following me. We didn't really talk back and forth or anything like that. But I noticed one time that he was looking for somebody. And I was, again, I was going to competition cooking. I had no desire really to go to work in a barbecue restaurant. But I did. I've always been the type to say, hey, this could, potentially help me later on down the road in the competition part of it. And so I answered a ad that he had put on social media, and we started working together at Bodacious. And so there I was able to kind of what Brian summed it up with himself was that I was able to see the restaurant side of things, and really just kind of like, you know what, this is, I like being able to touch people with the food that we make, to see one of the favorite things I do. Not as much anymore as I get older, but I've always liked working on the block, especially when you have people in front of you. I've always liked meeting people, talking with people, and especially when you're bringing a brisket out, placing on the board in front of people, and the oohs, the ahs, and man, some people call you, man, you're just a magician at doing what all this and how you're making it look, and I'm like, man, that's just like, it's not, it wasn't an ego booster. It was more of just like, man, I'm doing something here. And so, I just kind of stuck with it and just, kind of put the competition cooking on the way back burner now. So that's how, I got started in it.
So, you guys end up, Brian, you, where I first met you, Bodacious, in on Mobberly in Longview, which was at, I want to say, two lists ago, was number four, I think. On the Texas Monthly list. You were a large part of that because you were there, you were learning, but you were there and ultimately ascended. At what point did the little bit of the kernel of, hey, maybe this is something we can do for ourselves? When did that start to enter into the picture? And what were your conversations like with each other when it came to, hey, maybe we can strike out on our own with this?
So when I got into barbecue, and I really decided that it's what I wanted to do. I always, from the beginning, knew that one day I wanted to have my own spot. I think at the time, my ignorance and ego told me I was ready early on in my career, and I had a very humbling experience where I was told to my face that I was not, and basically told that I was nothing. And that kind of like, for me, that was like my wake up call, where I kind of like learned to shut my mouth and put my head down. And that was really, I think, the turning point in my career, to really humble myself. And so as things went on and my skills got better, and Jordan left that location, and running it was thrust upon me, I learned very quickly the things that I wanted to not ever do with running and owning a business. And there was just a lot of things that happened behind the scenes, all the hard work that not only myself, but David and all of us were trying to do. Like, we were really trying to take that spot and take it further than where it was, and just expand some things. And we were met with some resistance, and I was just kind of at that point, like, kind of threw my hands up in the air and was frustrated. And David was actually the one that said, "Hey, man, like, why don't we do this on our own and open up our own spot?" And like, honestly, I thought, like, man, I just don't know. I brought it up to Kimmy, my wife, and I told her, thinking that she was going to say, "Oh no, you're not ready yet. We're not ready to do this." But I was surprised when she was actually like, "Why not? We can, we all three of us can do this together. Like, why not do it on our own?"
Well,
And so
and
that's how it
Dave, you know, Brian, you mentioned Kimmy and Dave K for you. I mean, you know, this was not a two-man decision. This was a four-person decision when it all came down to it. And one of the things that I've been very impressed with, and a lot of your journey, and we'll get into it in a second, was you know, a food truck, and then it was on the road doing pop-ups at various places, but it was all hands on deck for you guys. And Dave, when you had this idea of, hey, maybe we can strike out on our own, was there any thought in your head that this isn't going to be a two-man operation? This is going to be a two-man and two-woman operation, which is kind of how it started.
It was more of a, I knew what kind of, because Kimmy had come to work with us at Bodacious. So I seen, how hard she works. And of course, I know how hard my wife works. So there was, I knew that my wife was behind me and us. And I knew vice versa that Kimmy was behind Brian and us. When you got that, and it's funny that you're asking about this because I was thinking about this weekend, more so my wife. She's been my biggest cheerleader. She's been the one, I don't think I've ever really had anybody in my life that really just said, "Hey, I'm on your side. This is what you want to do. We're going to make it happen." And so when you have that, honestly, when you have that, and I think Brian has that, with Kimmy, that you're not going to fail. I mean, you're not. Your failure is not an option because you don't want to let people down. You don't want to let yourself down, and you don't want to let those that are the ones that are cheering you on down as well. So it makes you work that much harder. So how can you fail? Situations going to come and go. Failure is not an option. It really is not.
Well,
So there.
interestingly, there was a lot of failure for you guys, or I guess delayed gratification is probably the.
There were times in our journey that we learned what not to do. And that's what I'd rather say, that they wasn't failures. They were things that we learned not to do.
They were learning
So,
experiences.
right. And so we can now sit and we can tell people, and we have, man, this is what happened to us. You don't want to go this route. Now, if you do, expect this to happen. So it's not, it's, and I understand it's, yeah, you could look at it as, yeah, there were a lot of failures. There's a lot of learning times, and that's what we did. Did we have to go through them all? Probably not. But hey, we learned, and we learned what not to do down the road. And I think that's helped us a lot too, just in making decisions for our future, is we said we come through so much that now we're cautious, and we're not trying to make the same mistakes.
Well, let's talk about that journey a little bit because you guys decide to go out on your own. There's a food truck, you're trying to get a brick and mortar. There's all kind of permit issues where you're trying to get your brick and mortar taken care of. At the same time, you're trying to stay afloat with a barbecue truck that's parked out north of Longview, and you're doing pop-ups. You were came to Shreveport a few times to do pop-ups. Tell me about that part of the journey as you were trying to get the brick and mortar going, and yet at the same time, still trying to stay afloat with the idea.
So, man, it's a lot. When we first started our trailer, like we always knew that we wanted to get into a brick and mortar. Like the trailer was really just kind of like, okay, this will be the quickest way that we can get opened up, and then we'll figure the rest out as we go. And originally we thought about trying to open it in Longview, the trailer, when we first opened Sunbird, and it was just like there was so much like regulations and rules with food trucks, and it was just easier for us to do it outside of town. So that's where we started. And then all that kind of came to a halt, and we had to pivot and figure out what we were going to do. And we moved our trailer to two other spots. Yeah, we were at a car dealership, and we actually moved to White Oak. But after that first closure, when we split with our former partners, that was when more pop-ups started happening, where we came to Shreveport. We were in Shreveport a ton. Like we were there for an entire week. And then on the weekends we were doing pop-ups. And so we were literally just trying to do whatever we could to keep the lights on at home, keep our families fed, all while trying to figure out like what are we going to do? Because like David has always said, like failure was never an option for us. There is no plan B. Like I'm never going to go back and work for someone else. Like I'm not going to. Like if this doesn't work for us, like I have no other plans. Like I've put all of my eggs into this basket, and like that knowledge and that, I don't want to call it desperation, but I mean it really was. To desperately figure out, man, what are we going to do? And I think most people, when met with the adversity we faced, would have easily folded. And we came pretty damn close. I mean, but I think it made us stronger in the long run. It helped us to learn how to handle that adversity going forward, and it prepared us to handle literally whatever came our way. And I mean, we were met with everything you could think of with problems and having to relocate, trying to also get where we're at now open. It was a struggle going through the city with y'all need to do this and that, and getting our pit room built and getting all these inspections done while also being open in a town where when we were in White Oak, while we were trying to get the building open, man, we were selling like maybe two briskets a day if we were lucky. Like not even a whole pork butt some days. Like, I mean, it was we if we made $1,000, we thought like, oh my God, like we had a great day. Like that's how rough it was while we were trying to get this building open.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I wonder, Dave, maybe Brian as well, if you didn't have someone else with you, right? You guys are together, your wives are behind you. If let's just say it was you, Dave, you were trying to open up your own spot, I've got to imagine it's way easier to just fold it up and go home, but you have Brian with you, you have Kay behind you, you've got Kimmy with, like, it feels like all of you guys were able to sort of rally each other in this scenario.
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely made it easier to not throw in, to know that you can't throw in the towel. That wasn't an option, like Brian said. And there's times in that period of time, there were times that, when you're doing this thing, you don't worry about just, I, at least I didn't worry just about myself or Kay. I knew that. Man, there's other people. There's Brian's family that depends on what we do and the success that we have. And for that, for someone to carry that, that's a lot, you know. I think too that and Brian may agree with me, it's a whole lot easier to go out and take care of yourself and your wife or your family. But when you get to a partnership, it's not just you in your surrounding. It's both. So, you know, it makes it easier to keep that failure out. You know, what are we going to do? You know, we got to move forward.
Well, and it helps too, like knowing that, like it's easier when you've got someone else to talk to as well. Like for me, like I don't know everything about running a business. I never will claim to. And there's been a lot of times where I may not have the answer, and I feel defeated and frustrated. And like we've always kind of helped each other with, me at the end of the day, like we don't always agree on everything, but like. We have over the years, I think we've like developed a respect for each other where we've always had each other's backs. We have our bad days and our good days, just like anyone would. But at the end of the day, like we both want each other to succeed. So like we've always had each other's back as far as like what we can do to progress and get through all of the struggles that we had to get through because it was hard, and it wasn't like it was just one of us going through it. We were all going through it together.
You know, the timing was very strange too when you opened, because in terms of the Texas Monthly list, you were basically open almost not quite enough time to really be eligible for the last list. And you were putting out high quality barbecue. I'd obviously visited you guys a bunch, and I think you probably would have been on that list, but the timing was strange with that one. It was that kind of, I don't say a disappointment, but was that just kind of strange because of, you know, it was the permits, it was trying to get everything ready. It was not your timing that did this, but it was the timing was such that it was going to be difficult for you to make that list.
So yeah, I mean, when we opened in 21, we had only been open for a few months when that list came out. And so yeah, I don't think that we qualified because of the amount of time we've been open. But like honestly, like I won't speak for David, I'll speak for myself. I think our food sucked when we first opened. Like honestly, like the first, I would say like the first year that we were open, probably like our food was, I mean, if you looked at what we were doing then versus now, then you wouldn't even think it's the same people.
So why is that? What
Well,
are the variables involved that you get into a new building and the food changes?
it's a lot of factors. When we were first in our trailer, we were using when we very first opened, we were using a reverse flow smoker. None of us had ever cooked on a pit like that before. To this day, I still don't understand it. But we were never really like able to produce the same food that we did on a traditional offset. And so like for me personally, like that was a huge factor. Well, then we got a couple other pits. It's like my dad had built us one. It was like maybe a 250 gallon like propane tank. And so we had that. My father-in-law had given us a pit that was just like a even smaller than a 250. It was that we used. And so it's like everything started getting better when we had those because we were more familiar with the techniques and that. But then those had their quirks and their problems, and it's like, so then at that point we're trying to run three different backyard pits that really aren't meant for a restaurant and trying to figure that out. Going through all of our own personal demons as well at the time, and like I don't think we were focused, and like I say, that's how I feel. I'll let David answer in his own way, but like I was not focused back then. I expected to open the doors and people were just going to flock to us because I thought we had built a name, and I was wrong. And it again was another humbling experience and a learning experience to where it's like, man, you don't have it figured out like you think you do. But I think again that really propelled us to continue learning and growing and learning how to cook like our style of food.
And I think that was the, you know, when we first started, We took what we had and we made the best that we could out of what we had. And I think the biggest driver is that none of us are satisfied. We're always trying to better it. We're always still working on things, even today. We're trying different things because we're never satisfied. And I think that helped us a lot. Now, what is that a factor in it? Yeah, of course it is. Being in a brick and mortar now in a real kitchen is enables us to better our food, the way it looks, the way it tastes. When we first started, we were sharing a commissary with the gas station next door to where we were set up. So we would, have to work in this tiny area, and I don't know how big the table was that we were
We're
allowed to
allowed.
have. We were allowed to have a little square table, and Brian's over there at one point trying to make sausage on it. And then, we were trying to make all of our little sauces and things like that. And then we had certain hours that we could get into the kitchen and make all of our food, and then certain hours to clean all of our dishes up at the end of the day. We had to. We got the short end of that stick, but I mean, that in itself right there, I'm proud of what we put out then because of what we had. Yes, it wasn't the best that we were going to be known for, but it was what we had. To today, we've got a kitchen, we've got space, even though we say we're running out of space back here in the kitchen. There's so much that we want to do that we haven't been able to do yet. The food will get even better once we have that room and equipment.
We don't have to worry about someone accusing us of scratching their table.
Yeah, scratching their table,
So, what you're telling me, guys, is your sausage versus the little rotisserie hot dogs that are there on the little thing. Like, I'm going rotisserie hot dog every time, right? Like, if I'm at the gas station, I got to get the rotisserie hot dog. The one that's been there for like 6 or 7 hours, just rolling on that same little silver grate thing.
Probably still there right now.
It probably is. It probably is. Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit. You get in the brick and mortar, you're starting to get comfortable, and then boom, the Texas Monthly Top 50 list from a couple of months ago comes out. You guys are on it. I was not surprised. I know a lot of people around me were not surprised. What was your reaction when that list came out?
There was a few. For me, it was I it's hard to find the words of how I felt when I saw our name on there. Like I will never say I expected it, because I am always going to be a person, and David can tell you I'm incredibly pessimistic, and I never believe things, and like I don't know. So like there's always that doubt in the back of my mind, right? Like, okay, what if we're not good enough? What if we are just the new kids on the block, as someone put it? But then to see our name on there, it's just like, man, everything we've been through, all of the struggle, all of the heartache, all of the learning experiences, it was all just just made it all worth it. It was that confirmation that, okay, like we are on the right path. I mean, I understand that like a list does not define you, but for me, it was just confirmation that we were on the right path, that we were doing things that like other people saw it and agreed with what I thought and what David thought.
Dave, what was your reaction?
Validation. Validation.
That was the word I was looking for.
There you go.
Dave's the word. Dave's the wordsmith of the group. That's
Oh, no, don't say that now. But no, validation. I mean, to know that, and look, we're on the list. You can't take that away from us. So I'm just going to say this. To me, this area has not gotten love from barbecue, this East Texas area. We call it the 903, the 903 barbecue. You'll see me hashtag that a lot. It doesn't get a lot of love. So I'm glad that so many were on the list this time around, because there are some spots that are just killer, man. They're great folks out there. David Slaughter, Clyde, even Stephen Joseph, old school man. I mean, and he, there should be more love in this area because there's a lot of great barbecue. So it was validation for me. Did I get all emotional and woo-woo-woo and all that? I did have my time. I did have my time. It may not have been in front of people, but I did have my time. But it was more just a validation feeling that I
Well,
did.
and you should have some emotion about it. But again, if you guys had just moved into a brick and mortar spot and just had a nice, gentle, rise, and then you get to like that's one thing. It's cool that happened. But with your journey, you guys deserve to celebrate and be emotional about where you came from, because as you said, Brian, y'all were very close to packing it in multiple times on this journey. So let's not act like that's not a big deal for you guys, right? I mean, that's a big deal to have the outside people, especially the quote unquote experts, recognize the journey that you've been on. I think that's part of the reason I love you guys, is because you have persevered and overcome so much to get to it. You call it a pinnacle, call it a plateau, whatever you want, but you guys have persevered to get to a terrific place right now. You're still going to go up, you still want to improve, all of that's understandable, but you guys have overcome so much, and that's what I love about your story.
And it's thank you. And it like David said, that validation, it's just like it felt so good because it's like, we've gone through so much, and we try to not let that define who we are. And I think for a while I did. I let the struggles define who I was and really kind of like take out a lot of positivity that I used to have for what we do. And it's kind of like it was like a breath of fresh air for me to finally see our name in that magazine. Like it's like okay, like this weight lifted off my shoulders of, it's okay to be happy. Like we have something to celebrate that's a big deal. And like David said, nobody can take it away from us. There's regardless of if you believe in the rankings or the politics or whatever BS you want to say, like I don't care about any of that. Like we earned this. It's not because we're the new kids on the block. It's not because, oh, well, they just needed to represent Longview and there was no one else. It's like, no, you can't say that crap. Like we earned this.
Yeah. And by the way, I talked to Daniel Vaughn, who curates the list, right before you guys last week. And one of the things he talked about was taking the emotion out of the rankings. And he's really good at doing that, right? Y'all have an amazing story. If they wanted to put you on the top 50 list for your story, that would be great. But it is not based on your story. It's based on the product that you're putting out. And that is an unbiased ranking. So congratulations, you guys made it on your product, not on your story.
Yeah, it's we've been through a lot, and we'll always carry that with us. Probably one of the only very few, if any more, barbecue places started and had to one day think about letting it all go because maybe we couldn't get money to buy our partners out. That was a real thing. Should we just let it all go and start over again? And I think it was. When I questioned Brian, I looked at Brian and I said, "Do you want to keep it?" And he said, "Yes, I want to keep the name. I want to keep the logo. I want to keep everything." Then that's what we're going to do. And we got the money to buy those folks out because I'm telling you, to this day, we are where we're at because we did what we had to do to buy them out. And we would not be where we're at today. There would be so much garbage. We our story. Look, grab a beer. Let's sit down and I'll tell you the whole thing without holding back. But validation comes from that list for us.
Yeah. And
Brian
look,
said,
that Validation is two things in barbecue. And I, Stephen Joseph, disappointed he didn't make this list. He's been on it twice. It's not like no one knows what he's doing at Riverport and Jefferson. You guys are on the list for the first time. Validation happens in two ways for you guys. Recognition by a list or, a publication or something like that, and profits and sales and selling out. And, I was texting with Steven. He's like, man, I'm disappointed I didn't make the list. Well, what happened the next few days? Well, I sold out every day. I was like, okay, the people know, right?
Yeah.
And so the people knew even before you guys were making the list that you were quality. I'm curious what it's like now after the list. And I obviously follow you guys and I see a lot of, hey, thanks, sold out, sold out, sold out. We're not even taking phone orders anymore because we're running out of stuff before we even open. Tell us what it's been like post list.
So we were like, before the list even came out, like we were on a pretty positive, like upward trajectory. So it's like the list coming out, like it just added to where we were already going. Because there's still so many people in our area, if you can believe it, that don't know who we are.
Yeah.
We still have a ton of people that live in Longview that have never been here or they've come for the first time. So I think the list really just kind of like it helped with people from out of town, really. You know, like a lot of people in Longview are really proud of us for making that list, but it helped put us on the map for people who would never look out here. So it's definitely helped us a ton, I would think. Like I said, we were already trending upwards, but that list just really kind of brought in a new wave of people. So it's been awesome for us as far as the uptick in the business.
Yeah, I think the list was like, when I sit back and I look at it, I think the list was like a catalyst to, we had a video put out that the city of Longview put out on us for their Come Visit Longview. That helped a lot. I think that would have happened if we hadn't made the list? You know, who knows? But I think the list helped it happen really quick, so the next thing I know, we're having on video, they're making a video, they're sending people over to make a video. The news people were here making a news story on us. That helped. That all became because of the list. I like what Brian said. Think about what you want to think about the list. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad we're on it, and I'm glad we're getting that validation. I keep using that word. Maybe I'll find another word. I'll look in the dictionary that night. But that's what, we're having a good time with it.
As you should. All right, let's talk a little granular now. Since you two guys are there, and Kimmy is there as well, Brian's wife, What's the division of responsibilities like for you guys? Who's cooking what? Are you tag teaming everything? Like what is your routine in terms of, all right, we got to put, X number of briskets on, we got to put X number of ribs and pork butt and whatnot. What's sort of the division of responsibilities for y'all?
It's really just kind of like when it comes to the cooking of the meat and of all of that, like it's really just kind of like me and David both do it all. We kind of just talk to each other, like, how many of this do you want to do today, or how many of that, or like, there really isn't like one person does this or that. It's just kind of like we both have our morning routines where, like, I trim the briskets and put those on. David does like the ribs and the turkey and the pork, but like we talk about how many we want to do. We look at the orders we have on the line to figure it out. We kind of just help each other out with that. Typically the morning, he's manning the fire because I'm in here prepping stuff for the line that we use for service. So he handles most of that in the morning. And then I go out when I can to kind of check on some stuff. But it's really just kind of like me and him both handling all that. And then Kimmy handles, like, when it comes to the sides, he puts on like the corn and the beans. He starts all that. And we just kind of let Kimmy do her thing when it comes to whatever other sides that she might have the time for. So it's really just kind of all hands on deck for everything.
Yeah, I think, but we still have individuality here. Brian does the sausage, the special sausages, the boudin, that's him. That's his. The pork belly burn-ins, that's him. We do specialty tacos. I've done a lot of specialty tacos. That's mine. like green sauce that we serve here, salsa that, that's mine, that's what I do. Kimmy has her own with the sides and the desserts. So we keep our individuality, but we all communicate together to make this thing happen.
Well, yeah, you gotta have the
Nobody's in charge.
basics.
Yeah, nobody's in charge. Nobody's the boss. Nobody is trying to boss anybody around except Brian. Going, I'm just kidding. We all go around and we all respect each other. We respect each other's space, specials. And you got to keep that. You got to keep the individuality because each of us bring a flair to this place. So we take a responsibility for that, and we set the bar for ourselves. We don't allow people to set bars for us. We set the bars for ourselves, and they're very high in what we do.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to pitch you against each other now for a second, because anybody who follows y'all on any of your social medias by the way, give me all the socials while we're thinking about it so that we can follow you guys.
So the work is just Sunbird BBQ. It's that on Instagram, Facebook. I'm gonna call it Twitter still because I'll never
Fine.
not Twitter. So it's the same on all of those platforms, just Sunbird BBQ. My personal one on everything is Brian C. Bingham on everything as well. It's the same.
On Instagram, mine is Dave, DAV Segovia, on Instagram. On Facebook, I just now started working back on a page. It's under David Segovia. That's as of the last week or so that I started picking that back up. And that's the only ones I do.
So I see you guys on, all your various social media, and when you're away from the restaurant, you're still cooking great food. You're always posting great stuff that you're doing. So if I dropped you two into a Beat Bobby Flay or an Iron Chef or that kind of thing, and it's like your secret ingredient is salmon or something crazy, like who's coming out on top? Who's the better wild card cook?
I'll tell you right now, I would lose just because when it comes to stuff like that, like I get too in my own head, which is why I've never done any like of the competition stuff like that. Like I've had opportunities to do it, but I'm just like, I can't do it, man. When I was in culinary school, we had like a chop thing that we did. But dude, I butchered it so bad, and it was like I cooked steak for it. Which is something I do all the time, but for whatever reason, like when the competition aspect of it kicked in, it's like everything that I knew was just gone. So I feel like I would probably screw it up. So I'm not even going to pretend and lie and say that I would be a badass at it because I can tell you right now I wouldn't.
And I'm too old
Well,
school. I'm too old school.
Dave, you're also from a competition background,
Yeah.
so you probably have a little more of a comfort level there.
Two totally different styles of cooking. From someone that has walked both sides of the fence, they're way different. They're night and day. They're not the same. I'm too old school when it comes to, I'm just not. You talk about salmon. I don't know. I couldn't do that. I don't have a recipe that I'm gonna say, man, I know how to make that taste good. I'm just not. I'm gonna probably batter that bad boy up and put it on some fish tacos and serve it with my green salsa. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm not. I don't know what you want me to say, but that's the truth.
Sounds like a winner to me. I mean, if Brian's over here melting down, then you just have to serve something and you
Don't let
win.
him fool you.
So,
Don't let him fool you, Don.
oh, trust me, we know he's sandbagging. We all know that. Hey, last thing, and this is something since y'all are the first pit masters that I'm talking to, y'all are going to get to be the guinea pigs. But I want to ask of all of the pit masters that I have on the show, just some general advice for the lay barbecue cooks out there, the guys that are in their backyard. Brian, you were there. Dave, you were there, experimenting with stuff and, cutting your brisket in half just to fit it on your tiny pit, that kind of stuff. When you talk to guys that are trying to learn how to cook a brisket or cook a rack of ribs, what are just some general thoughts that you give to those folks to try to help them along?
The biggest advice that I give people is just like don't ever stop learning. Even if you think, oh, I cook the best brisket out of anyone that anyone's ever had, it's like, okay, well, do you really? Like, you can cook one, that's one thing, but can you cook 20 and they all taste the same? Just something like that where it's just kind of like, I don't know. Don't be afraid to continue learning. Don't be afraid to mess up. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, doing this on a professional level is completely different than doing it in your backyard. And I think you just have to be willing to accept knowledge and growth, and not just think that you can do it, because it's very difficult to do it on a professional level.
Well, Dave, as you said, it's not failure, it's just learning opportunities, right?
That's exactly it. See what works for you. What works for us up here may not be your style. You've got to love what you're doing. You got to love what you're cooking. You can't, if you're not trying to make the best brisket or the best rack of ribs that you can possibly make, okay? If you're not trying to make it the best, then you're not in love with it. And you've got to, like Brian said, be willing to mess up, learn from that. If you want to cook a brisket, yeah, watch videos, read articles, do whatever. But when it comes right down to it, do what you're comfortable doing. I mean, the meat's going to cook and it's going to get done when it's ready. You're not going to force it to get ready. There are tricks, there are things you can do, wrap in foil and make it faster. At a higher temp, but is that going to be the best that you want to put out? Put out the best that you want, and you'll never fail. Never.
I think that's a sound piece of advice and a great way to finish this one out. Guys, I've mentioned it during this particular interview, but it continues to hold true. The journey that you have been on and have overcome to get where you are, there's no one more deserving of the recognition that you guys are getting. Love both of you gentlemen. I appreciate y'all embracing me and my crew when we come over and letting us get back there and be idiots. I appreciate that from y'all. And seriously, kudos to where you have gotten to on that journey that you've been on.
Thank you for having us today. Yeah,
All right,
appreciate it.
Dave Segovia and Brian Bingham, Sunbird Barbecue in Longview, brand new members of the Texas Monthly Top 50 list. All right, thank you, Dave and Brian. We greatly appreciate you guys joining us. The Sunbird Barbecue crew, they have been through a ton, moving out of Bodacious on Moberly, trying to get their brick and mortar spot open, all the while trying to just keep the business afloat. As you just heard, it was a remarkable story of perseverance. And those guys have overcome all the way to make it to the Texas Monthly Top 50. If you're ever in Longview, please go visit those guys. I know they will be extremely happy you did, and mention that you heard about it right here on the Barbecue Hound. I don't know that they'll give you a discount or give you anything for free, but hey, it couldn't hurt. You never know. Maybe they'll throw in a half a slice of brisket or something, or an extra sausage for you if you mention that you heard it right here. All right, now it's time for The Smoke, which is our listener mailbag, viewer mailbag. If you don't know how to get in touch with us, a couple of ways to do it. We are available on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X. That is at the BBQ Hound, at the BBQ Hound on all of our social media platforms. Or you can find us, if you like, on our YouTube channel. That's the Barbecue Hound. You can find us on our podcast platforms, any of those. All of those are available to you. So leave a comment on our videos, leave a comment on our podcast, leave a comment on our email, our text message. We can take text 318-657-0HAM, 318-657-0426. Also, before we get to the smoke, our mailbag, we should mention we've got merch. That's right. We've got t-shirts. See there? The Barbecue Hound t-shirt. I'm sorry if you're watching this, if you're not watching this, if you're listening to it on the podcast platform, you don't see our t-shirt. But we have t-shirts that we are giving away, and we have stickers. So if you are someone that likes a good sticker or likes a good t-shirt, Follow along with our social media, and chances are you'll have a chance to win one of these bad boys, because we are giving away quite a few stickers and t-shirts before it's all said and done. All right, now time for the smoke as we take a look at our viewer and listener mailbag. We posted the clip of Daniel Vaughn from last week talking about the Texas Monthly Top 50 crew and how those guys, the judges, train. They get them together. They bring in barbecue, all that stuff. And so in talking about that, we posted a clip of it. Me, you, and Texas Barbecue said, we want to be on that team. We've been training our whole lives. And I answered with, yeah, you, us too, for that matter. Definitely would love to be on the Texas Monthly Top 50 judging crew. I could certainly handle East Texas, Southeast Texas, into Dallas and Fort Worth. I could get to any of those pretty easily. Texas Derek gave us three flame emojis. Thank you very much. Class 1 Barbecue said, can't wait for you folks to come to Class 1 Barbecue in Amarillo. I appreciate that. We look forward to, hey, maybe we'll get over there at some point. All right, we got some questions on our YouTube channel as well. With Mr. E said, I love the interview. He's a lucky man. Yeah, he is. Curious if there's any thoughts around pairing barbecue with adult beverages. What protein or dish should I get for my Sazerac? Well, I will say this. You have asked the absolute wrong person. I am a complete teetotaler. My drink of choice is Diet Coke. So I am the absolute wrong person to ask what you should drink or what you should eat with your Sazerac, because I do not know what pairs with it. I will say that a lot of good red meat pairs nicely with a lot of whiskey, so I've heard. So if you are a whiskey, bourbon, that kind of thing, I would suggest a nice steak, something in the red meat, a beef of some kind, a brisket, a beef rib. It feels like that's the stuff that usually pairs the best. But again, I could be completely wrong. So don't take, unlike LeVar Burton on Reading Rainbow, you don't have to take my word for it. Bob said, yes, my question made the smoke last week. You're welcome, Bob. He also has a question for this week, which is also going to make the smoke. Said, interesting that dessert is judged while making the top 10. Yeah, look, it's a, and there's a little more we'll get to in a second. Yeah, there is a very real component of what can you do overall, right? It's not just can you cook brisket, can you cook ribs, can you cook sausage, which is the Texas Trinity. It is very much a can you put together a good side, right? Are your baked beans better than everyone else's? Is your hot water cornbread really good? Do you have a potato salad or a coleslaw that just knocks our socks off, right? That helps. And then desserts as well. If you're doing homemade desserts in-house, that's going to add or potentially subtract from your score. It is the overall experience of the place, not just necessarily how well you cook the meat. Now, look, if you have the best brisket and the best ribs and the best sausage and your pecan cobbler is average, I've got a feeling you're going to make the top 10 anyway. Bob continues. Also, you talked about Daniel Vaughn being recognized and getting better food, but you didn't ask if his feelings get hurt when he isn't recognized and therefore gives a lower score. Well, one thing I can tell you is this. Daniel Vaughn does not factor feelings into his scores, Bob. I can assure you of that. Daniel is a guy who can put his feelings aside. We actually talked about that on his interview about he's a guy that you know knows a lot of these pitmasters and is friendly with a lot of these pitmasters and has broken bread with a lot of these guys and girls, but he is not someone who is going to let his feelings or his emotions influence his judgment. It's one of the things I appreciate about Daniel. He's got a tough job, man. When I judge at a KCBS or a different, you know, of another type of event, when I'm judging barbecue, it's double blind. Right, the judges don't know whose food you're eating, and the people who give you your food typically don't know the food you're eating. So there's no chance for us to quote unquote cheat for someone that we may know. We don't have that ability. So Daniel is different, right? Daniel's walking right into Burnt Bean and Seguin, and he knows exactly what he's eating. It's not a blind taste test. So yeah, I guess emotions could be involved, but Daniel's a good enough guy and a smart enough guy and takes his job seriously. so that he knows he will not have that scenario happen. He will be able to keep his feelings separate from his grading of the barbecue. All right, that's it for episode 3. We appreciate everyone for joining us. Keep sending in those comments. Keep sending in those questions. Send in voicemails and text messages. Check all our social media platforms. Please share the show with anyone you know, friends or family, enemies, I don't care. Share it out. Let people know about it. Let's get more people tuned in and involved with the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. So send in all those messages. We love hearing from you, and we look forward to reading them in next week's edition of The Smoke. That's it. It's the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. We'll see you next week.